Canto 8, Chapter 4, entitled Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. Text number 5 and 6. Saha. 6 is on the board. Okie doke. Gajendra. Bhagavat Sparshat. Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshat. Vimukto. Agyana Bandhanat. Vimukto Gyana Bandhanat. Prapto Bhagavato. Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pitavashas Chaturbhujaha Pitavashas Chaturbhujaha Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Gyana Bandhanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pitavasas Chaturbhujaha Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Gyana Bandhanat Bhagavato Rupam Pitavasas Chaturbhujaha Gajendra Bhagavat Sparshat Vimukto Gyana Bandhanat Prapto Bhagavato Rupam Pitavasas Chaturbhujaha. Vimuktaha was immediately freed. Agyana Bandhanat from all kinds of ignorance. Especially the bodily concept of life. Praptaha, achieved. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rupam, the same bodily features. Pitavasaha, wearing yellow garments. Chatuhu Bhujaha. And four-handed. With conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. Translation. Because Gajendra, the king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed from all material ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. I'll read text number 5 also. Sonukampita isena parikramya pranamyatam lokasya pasyato lokam svam agan mukta kil bishaha. Having been favored by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and having regained his original form, King Huhu circumambulated the Lord and offered his obeisances. Then, in the presence of all the demigods, headed by Brahma, he returned to Gandharva Loka. He had been freed of all sinful reactions. Because Gajendra, the king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed of all material ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by having his gross body touched by the Lord, his body turns into a spiritual body and he can go back home, back to Godhead. Gajendra assumed a spiritual body when his body was touched by the Lord. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj assumed his spiritual body in this way. In the Archana Padati, daily worship of the deity provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. Not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by hearing about his pastimes, chanting his glories, touching his feet and offering worship. In other words, by serving the Lord somehow or other, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. One who is a pure devotee, anyavilashita shunyam, who acts according to the shastra and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly becomes purified. Like Gajendra, he assumes a spiritual body and returns home back to Godhead. Sonukampita ishena parikramya pranamyatam lokasya pasyato lokam swamagan muktakilvisaha Gajendro bhagavat sparshad vimukta jnana bandhanat prapto bhagavato rupam pitavasas chaturbhujaha. Having been favored by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of God and having regained his original form, King Huhu circumambulated the Lord and offered his obeisances. Then, in the presence of all the demigods, headed by Brahma, he returned to Gandharva Loki. He had been freed of all sinful reactions. Because Gajendra, king of the elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed of all material ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. There are certain characteristics of this age of Kali Yuga which make it very, very difficult for us to achieve perfection in self-realization. Self-realization, or atma-sakshatkar, is the goal of every human being. We have, like the animals, needs. There is a need for eating. There's a need for sleeping. There's attraction or need for mating and defending. But according to the Shastra, ahar nidra bhai maitunam cha dharmena hina pasubhi samanaha. Without using our human form of life for self-realization, if we just eat, sleep, mate, and defend like the animals, then we are animals. Not that because we are more sophisticated than the cats and the dogs that we are better than them. Sophistication is not an indication that we are better. It simply means we are more sophisticated cats and dogs. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The very first instruction of the Vedanta, which is the end of all knowledge, the perfection of knowledge, Vedanta. The very first instruction given is now that you have come to human life, try to understand spiritual knowledge. Try to understand who you are. What is the soul? What is the body? Who is the Supreme Person? And how you can be liberated? That is the subject matter being discussed in this chapter and in these two verses. How to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. How to become freed. How to achieve actual swaraj. Swatantra, how to get free from jail. The jail is we have to go through old age, disease, and death and rebirth. That is the real prison that we are in. And unless and until we achieve liberation from these miseries, from this attachment to the asat, until we get free from our asakti to the asat, we have attachment to that which will not last. We have attachment to that which by nature is full of pain, suffering, misery. We're attached to the miserable, the body, and everything to do with the body, the material world. It is by nature incompatible with Sat-Chit-Ananda, the qualities of the soul. It's like trying to mix oil and water. There's no mixture. Oil and water, they don't mix. You can put them in a blender. You can do anything you like. And similarly, the soul and the body are completely opposite in nature. Therefore, you cannot be happy in the wrong nature. You cannot be happy identifying yourself with the body. Vyasadeva, he compiled all the Vedas. Brilliant man, he compiled all the Vedas. Brilliant man, perfect brain. He was unhappy. His spiritual master met him, Narad Muni, Narad Rishi. His spiritual master met him and told him, yes, I know why you're despondent. I know why you're unhappy. Because in the name of promoting religion, you have actually encouraged people to become attached, to falsely identify with his body. By promoting karma kanda and rituals without directly glorifying the Lord, you have directed people towards a path where they will be trapped again. Therefore, you have to glorify directly Krishna, his pastimes, his activities, the summum bonum, the absolute truth, not anything less than the absolute truth. That is the formula. So there are eight kinds of anomalies, especially in this Kali Yuga, which make it difficult for us to fulfill the order of Vedanta Sutra. We are very short in our duration of life. In this age of Kali Yuga, if we live to be 60 or 70 years, we are considered very old men. What to speak of living a full 100 years that is given to us? Very few people are octogenarians. Very few people live 100 years or more, although it is possible. But even that 100 years is nothing to free ourselves from the impurities which we have accumulated, the papa bija, the sins which we have accrued because of our purva janma. Brahmanda brahmite, we have been wandering throughout the cosmos, lifetime after lifetime, getting one body after another and building up a stock. We have a big stock of sinful reactions. So to cleanse away all the dirt and layers of, just like if you visit the devotee kitchen and see the stove, because it's not been properly cleaned, there are layers and layers of grease built up over weeks and months and years. So in the same way, if you see someone who smokes cigarettes, if you see a picture of their lungs, sometimes to frighten people to give up smoking, they show them a picture of their lungs. They show them healthy lungs, and then they show them unhealthy cigarette smokers' lungs. And the lungs, where you breathe in the chest cavity, in the lungs, where the air, the diaphragm helps you to breathe, it's clogged with so much black smoke, soot built up. It looks horrible. You become terrified by seeing it. That's me? Those are my lungs? So in the same way, our heart has become very, very dirty. And to eradicate that will take a long time in the normal process by some other system of yoga. We don't have a long time. We're very weak physically. It is a fact. In this age, people are completely bewildered by material desire, especially sex desire. And they waste their life's energy, especially in the form of semen. Therefore, there's no strength, no power to control their mind. Very weak. Short in duration of life, weak in physical frame, less inclined to spiritual life, troubled by bad karma. So many different anomalies in this age. Therefore, how can we achieve perfection? The goal of human life is self-realization, but how will we ever achieve perfection if we're in such a difficult condition, if we're in such a miserable condition? We're unqualified. It's only by the causeless mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada uses this phrase very often. Causeless mercy. It is not by our work that we achieve the mercy of the Lord. Liberation, there are five kinds of liberation that is discussed Sarupya, Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya, and Sayujya. Five kinds of liberation. Sayujya means to merge into the body of the Lord, or to merge into the existence of the Lord, to merge into Brahman. That kind of liberation is not accepted by devotees. Generally, that kind of liberation is sought after by the Mayavadis, those who have no concept of the personality. There are three stages of understanding the Lord: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyate. This is called Advaita Jnana. Although there are three distinctions made, nevertheless, it is non-dual. All three are transcendental realizations. But unless one comes to the point of Bhagavan realization, his pursuit of spiritual life is incomplete. And therefore it is said, Ye anye ravindaksha vimukta maninas tvayastha bhavada vishuddha buddhaya aruya krishchena param padam tada padantiyada. Because his knowledge is imperfect or avishuddha, impure, contaminated by monistic ideas, therefore, there's every likelihood that such a person will fall down, padantiyada. So one has to proceed farther to Bhagavan, to understand Krishna as a person. So here's the key. Unless we come to the point of worshipping Krishna as a person, we cannot overcome the difficulties and achieve liberation. The devotee in general is not interested in liberation. He has no desire, material desire, or even desire for his own self in any way. He simply wants to please the Lord. But if at all he accepts anything, he will accept liberation which does not negate the personality of Godhead. Sayujya Mukti does not take into account that God is a person, whereas Salokya, residing on the same planet as the Lord, or Samipya, Sarsti, the other four, having the same bodily features, having the same opulence as the Lord, these directly involve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the devotee will accept them if offered, although he doesn't aspire after them separately. So how to achieve this liberation? We want freedom from our suffering. How to achieve this liberation? It is only by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although we perform our sadhana, although we engage in bhakti yoga, although we engage our senses in serving the Lord, we build a big temple, we organize a sankirtan party, we arrange for nice dramas about the Lord, we collect funds for the service of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, we decorate the deity, so many things we are doing in a very grand and opulent way as much as we can. Utsahan, there should be enthusiasm to do our service. But finally we should recognize that it is only when Krishna takes compassion upon us. It is only when Krishna, out of his mercy, smiles upon us that we achieve perfection. Only by his causeless. There's no cause. We cannot say, because I chanted 16 rounds, therefore Krishna has to liberate me. There's no such condition. You can do everything perfectly, but if Krishna does not want to pick you up, that is his choice, and we have to surrender to that. Aslishyabhapadaratam pinastuma. Very nice verse. Out of all the Sikshastakam verses, each one is succeedingly more intense. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha prabhushaitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam. The whole world is vacant without Krishna. The mood of the Lord is getting deeper and deeper. These are his... Lord Chaitanya did not write any books. He instructed his followers to write books. So many volumes they wrote. But personally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not write any books, but he left these 8 verses. And they give us a little understanding of his mood. And each verse is deeper. And the last verse is, it doesn't matter. I am your surrendered servant unconditionally. You embrace me or you trample me. It doesn't matter. I am simply, you are my pranana. You are the master, the lord of my prana, my life. So this is the standard. We have to come to this causeless mercy. King Huhu was cursed. We have been hearing the story every day. How the king was a great king of the Gandharvas, but he offended a rishi, Devala Rishi. And thus he was cursed to become a crocodile. What do you say, mendup? Oh no, what's crocodile? Huh? Mugger. He was cursed to become a crocodile. I was just in Florida, in the USA. There they have alligators, very similar to crocodile. One airplane crashed in the swamp. And there were so many alligators. They didn't find any survivors. 139 people, all killed. Maybe eaten, I don't know. But similarly, there was one boat that in Victoria Lake in Africa, it was supposed to carry, I think it might have been Indian boat. It was supposed to carry maximum 300 people. It had 600. Sounds like boat from India or Bangladesh maybe. Anyway, capsized. Only 100 survivors. There they had crocodiles. Very vicious animal, crocodile. In Africa they have crocodiles. In India they have crocodiles. So King Huhu, he was cursed. And finally, when he achieved liberation from that curse, he regained his original form as King Huhu. But beyond our material form, we also have a spiritual form. And that is the original form that we must attain to live peacefully and happily. That is the form, spiritual form, that we can look forward to achieving when we go back home, back to Krishna. The form is already there. Simply we have to develop it. It is an eternal spiritual form. We all are spiritual beings. But we have been cursed We've all been cursed by our own foolishness. There was no sage who had to curse us. We chose our own misery. Ichadvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. So we've come to this material world, and by following in the path of great devotees, like King Huhu or Gajendra, Gajendra also was a very exalted personality in his previous life, but by pleasing the Lord, Prabhupada refers here to Dhruva Maharaj. Gajendra, being an elephant, was elephants are not exactly trained in oratory. They're not trained in giving nice speeches. They can't speak English anyway, or even Hindi either. They speak elephant language. Whatever. Anyway, Gajendra, by the mercy of the Lord, having been touched by the Lord, he was able to glorify Krishna. So Prabhupada talks here about our chance to touch the deities of the Lord, or even otherwise. Prabhupada makes a nice point. By any means, somehow or other, the principle is that we should be engaged in Krishna's service. Somehow we need to have contact with the transcendent personality of Godhead. We need contact with Adhoksaja. Somehow or other we are within Maya, and we need contact with Adhoksaja, who is beyond Maya. Somehow or other. So this process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Navalakshana, this religious process will help us to always be in touch with Krishna. And Ante Narayana Smritihi, to remember Krishna at the time of death. So Dhruva, he is another case, Dhruva Maharaj. You all know the story of Dhruva. He was the son of King Uttanapada. But his mother was not favored by the king. There was another mother who was perhaps more beautiful or whatever. Anyway, the king favored the other wife, and the wife, using that opportunity, pushed her son forward. Although Dhruva was accustomed to sitting on the lap of his father, when the other boy, pushed forward by his mother, came, Dhruva was pushed off. The knee of the king was not big enough for two sons. So anyway, Dhruva felt very offended. And he thought, let me gain some power by which I can defeat my enemy, the other son. He was thinking like that. Let me go to the forest. Actually, his mother guided him. If you go to the forest and meditate, you can get help from the Supreme Personality. So Dhruva did that. He went to the forest and practiced meditation. His meditation was so intense. He was chanting, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He was chanting that mantra given to him by Narad. It was so intense. He was standing on one leg. Where's Hanuman? Huh? Hanuman. Hanuman, when he first came to the temple many, many years ago, he used to stand in front of the diorama there on one leg chanting his japa. He was very sincere. Still he's sincere. Not easy to stand on one leg for a long time. Dhruva was standing on one leg for 6 months. And he actually stopped breathing. He stopped everything. He wanted to stop the mind. The goal of meditation is no more gati, no more movement of the mind. So he, first of all, he stopped eating a little grass every few days. Then he reduced everything gradually over, not so gradually, quite quickly. Finally, he stopped breathing. The power of his meditation was so great that the whole universe became choked up. His whole body began to influence the whole universe. He became like the universe. So when he stopped breathing, there was no more circulation of air. And therefore all the demigods became very worried. Because they couldn't breathe. They were choking. So finally, Lord Vishnu was petitioned. The demigods have access. And Lord Vishnu went there to see Dhruva. And first of all, Dhruva saw him within his heart. Then he disappeared within the heart. Dhruva got disturbed. He opened his eyes. He was meditating with his eyes half closed, half open. And he was meditating on Paramatma within the heart. After seeing Vishnu, he became so attracted. He said, Swamin kritartosmi varam nayache. I was looking for Kanchana. Is that pieces of broken glass? What's the word? Huh? Broken glass? Kacha. Vichinvan. Kachan Bichinvang. Anyway, he was looking for... He said, I'm looking for pieces of broken glass in comparison to having you. Now I'm seeing you. I'm realizing that kingdom, power, influence is all useless. Seeing you, I'm totally satisfied. But as a young boy, he had no way to express himself, so... Vishnu personally touched him on the head with his conch shell, reached out, touched him. Then Dhruva became inspired. 5-6-year-old boy, what can he speak? What eloquent prayers can he compose? But being inspired, being a devotee, wanting to perform devotional service, Krishna empowered him. So in the same way, Gajendra was also empowered to praise the Lord. Even the King Huhu was empowered, being touched by the Lord. As a crocodile, as an elephant, they were able to offer prayers to the Lord. They were benedicted and freed, and they achieved liberation. And that should be our goal in all our activities, somehow or other, to be empowered by the Lord to praise Him and to receive His causeless mercy so that we can come out of our darkened condition in this Kali Yuga and finally go back home, back to God. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Enjoying jungle life. And then all of a sudden he got the mercy of the Lord and went directly back to Godhead. This is a wonderful thing. How is it possible? How come the Lord came with this kind of elephants? Well, that's why the story is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam with the background information. Directly, it's bewildering how this happened. How if such an elephant so easily got the mercy of the Lord and went directly back to Godhead, then why can't we all get it? At least we're as good as an elephant. But the point is, Gajendra in his previous life was a representative of the Lord. He was a fallen demigod who had been cursed for some not so serious mistake, but some mistake he had been cursed. What was the story? Why was he cursed? Yeah. Huh? Oh, King Indradyumna, right. Yeah. Actually, in the Hare Krishna movement, we see causeless mercy, really, but so many people in different corners of the world were engaging in total materialistic life, although very unhappy and miserable, but something was missing. But then Prabhupada came along, and within one moment's meeting, immediately they could understand, here's my guru. And they gave up everything. They gave up their family, they gave up their customs, their culture, their dress, shaved their head, immediately, within one day, moved into the temple. How it happened? Foreign culture, they'd never even, you know. Means there was something coming from a previous lifetime, isn't it? What do you think? Otherwise, this culture is so foreign to my culture, my lack of, Western culture. So the complete story is that, or the general complete story is that Gajendra in his previous life was a great king, King Indradyumna. He had everything, but he renounced all of that and went to the forest and was practicing meditation and was making spiritual progress. But while in samadhi, he neglected to offer respect to Agastya Muni who came in that area. So Agastya Muni, to teach him a lesson, cursed him to become an elephant. Now, Agastya Muni also is Trikalagya. He knew what would happen in the future. He did it for his benefit, just like Narad Rishi cursed the Yamal Arjuna trees, the cursed... the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Narad Muni cursed them. But he knew that in the future, even though he cursed them to become trees, he knew that in the future that baby Krishna would knock the trees down and they would get an opportunity to have darshan. So Agastya also knew that in the future there would be a leela where Gajendra would be liberated. So he cursed him to teach him a lesson also, that you have to offer respect to a great personality when such a personality comes. Same thing happened with Parikshit. Parikshit was cursed by a Brahmin boy.